morning, fellas. How's it going?
Oh, hello, Fredzy.
Doing well, doing well. Just got back from a weekend in Nashville. I had a friend get married there. So.
And they're predator crazy down there still.
The predator signs were everywhere, guys. They really, I sent out this tweet last week, and I said, you know, I can't think of a fan base that deserves, you know, a long-suffering fan base that deserves a cut more than the Preds. And I really just felt bad for them. And I think like three people got my joke, and everyone else either ripped me for getting the Blues while living in St. Louis. So Blues fans, not the best at sarcasm, but certainly the most deserving of a Stanley Cup in my book.
Mm-hmm. Those are Tennessee Hill people down there. You pay them no mind.
Oh, the Tennessee Hill people were upset. They thought I was making fun of the Predators. And they did play multiple rounds of Rocky Top at the wedding, though, which I don't think I've ever heard, you know, Mizzou's fight song at a wedding.
No.
Did you do any boot scooting?
Nice.
I did not. No, I wore dress shoes. I probably should have. I packed my boots, but I didn't wear them to the wedding.
Mm. Well, who was this fellow that got married? Should we know him?
No, he was a buddy of mine from Knoxville who my fiance used to be roommates with his now wife. So we met through them and have been friends for a few years now. And we had to go back for it. So I say that because I have to somewhat apologize for not watching every single Cardinals game this weekend. I did follow the games and read the coverage and try to watch the highlights when there were some to watch. But I wasn't as tuned in as I usually am. But I kind of get the sense talking to Seamonster just before I came on here that a lot of people are kind of feeling that same way about this team. I don't know that everybody is watching. I mean, the casual observer, are they watching as many games this season as they...
Say they're bored by the team. I get so many people texting in or posting on the fan pin saying they're bored by the team.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I mean, I think we're doing the same thing we did last year a little bit to some degree, where we try to find a million different solutions to the overall kind of glaring issue. Right now, this team, without some additions or a significant breakthrough, it's just not that good. I mean, they're going to be able to go out and win some games here and there, but they haven't been able to put enough of a consistent effort across the board to be a consistently winning team. I mean, the offense gets going a little bit in Baltimore. You have that hitter's ballpark, and then the starting pitching falls off a cliff, which has been the reason that you were even in the mix is because your starters were so good, and now they're scuffling a little bit, and the offense is producing runs, but they can't produce enough.
Let's cut to the chase, Wally.
Online, something else checks out.
Let's cut to the chase, Wally Wordsmith. Lance Lynn, here or gone?
I think he's going to go. I think he wants to probably test the free agent waters a little bit, and I think the Cardinals realize they have some depth in the system, and they try to at some point, you know, try to get what they can for him, get some sort of return. I like Lance. I think he brings an added edge to the clubhouse that they need. I think they're going to miss him if he does go. But I think right now, if I had to say, I think he goes.
I guess the worry would be you've got Waka, who's also kind of on the ropes, and they're talking, well, maybe he ought to be in the bullpen right now. He can't get through four or five innings. You got Wainwright, who's, what, 35 or 36 years old, had a couple of horrendous starts now back-to-back. You lose Lynn, and all of a sudden, how do you get five starters?
Yeah, I know. We're talking about the depth that they had in the rotation, and it's starting to look not so great. But if Wainwright's not going to pitch well, and if Lynn's going to be shaken up here and not get back on track, which I think he probably will, Walker's a big concern. But at this point, you know, he said we're going to give this team a month to 6 weeks to figure out if we're going to sell or if we're going to be in this thing. And right now, they haven't shown anything. You know, it's been 10 days. They haven't shown anything that has looked like a team that needs to be making moves to contend this season. So if that's the mindset, if he's going to follow what he said, then you look at Lance Lynn and say, here's a guy we can get something back for next season. And you know, we haven't shown anything that says we need to plan for this season other than the standings, which kind of still has the Cardinals in there. But if that's the only thing you're going by, not by the performance of the team overall, because they haven't justified that kind of thinking. So, I mean, it's kind of like we talk about with teams when they are looking at a piece via trade. Do they deserve it? Do they put themselves in a spot where they've proven that that's what they need? This team hasn't done that. So I think you look at you know, maybe starting to open the door for some young guys at some point. You know, Luke Weaver, who has pitched really well in Memphis, he's had some of those back issues that I think they're cautious about. In Memphis, they can pull him, you know, anytime that flares up. But if he's going to be able to show that he's healthy, I'd like to see him here. I would have liked to see him before Marco, but I think they were worried about some of the back stuff. But you're right to be concerned about Michael, because he's been trending in the wrong direction here. This is what we all worried about at spring training. He looks so good down there. He looks so good to start the season, but now he's starting to look like that guy who struggled the past couple seasons with that shoulder. And I think it's going to be – there's a high chance that this next start of his could get bad.
Let me ask you this, typewriter Ted. Looking ahead, would you rather have a rotation that has Reyes, Carlos Martinez, and Lance Lynn at the front of the rotation? Does that seem intriguing to you?
It does, yeah. No, I'm not anti-Lance Lynn. I think the Cardinals missed him last year. You know, I think he's a guy who has a little bit of that snarl that is maybe a little bit different than some of the key leaders in the clubhouse, and he can be a guy that guys who don't fall in that line can kind of gravitate toward. I'm just looking at he's going to be a guy who's an innings eater who could go to a team like Houston at the, you know, before the deadline and really bulk up their chances of having success and then hit free agency. He could be a rental type guy who I think would be intriguing to a lot of teams. So if the Cardinals are not in a position to think that they're contenders or to prove to Mo that they're going to get this thing going, then if I'm Mo, I'm looking at this as a valuable guy that I could move to get some pieces in return, so I'm not in the same spot in the future.
Are you as pained as I am?
If the Cardinals buy in, there's no way they get rid of Lance Lynn. But what Mo said was, look, we got 4 to 6 weeks to figure out what we are, and at this point, they haven't shown that they're going to be in. So I think right now you look at guys that think, how do they roll this forward to next year?
Are you as pained as I am to see Matt Holliday hit a home run about every other night and Matt Adams, the hottest hitter in the National League right now?
You know,
that hurts.
It's a bizarre, it's wild to watch. And I'm happy for Matt Adams because he, you know, we always kind of wondered what he might do if he got consistent playing time. And I think Atlanta's a great fit for him. I think he's going to get paid pretty well if they end up moving him when Freddie Freeman comes back. But I guess I can't sit there and rip the Cardinals for not bringing those guys back. Holliday, I mean, I believed the idea that they were going to get, you know, more athletic and you know, more defensively sound in the outfield. So I guess I understood why. I don't know that he's hitting like he does now if he's playing left field every day. He's probably hitting better than any left fielder the Cardinals would have, no matter where he plays. But I think it was a perfect fit for him to go be a DH. And I think as soon as the Yankees signed him, I thought, oh, that's going to work for him. And he seems to be kind of almost re-energized by having, you know, being in the lineup with Aaron Judge. He seems to really taken a liking to him, and they seem to be hitting it off. And I imagine Judge gets a ton of advice and kind of, you know, just insight from Holliday that he's probably benefiting from. As for Adams, you know, this is – I thought he would produce in Atlanta, but this has been surprising. I mean, he's just crushing home runs, and he hasn't hit that slump that we kind of thought might happen, at least not yet. And I think he has been proving that he can be that guy who plays every day. I don't know what the spot would have been for him in St. Louis. I guess you could have put Carpenter in left field and, you know, put Matt Adams at first base. But knowing what you know now, that maybe you think about that a little bit more, but the Cardinals didn't have any sample size to say that was justifiable at spring training. So it's an odd situation for Matt, but I think the Cardinals are probably sitting around going, man, I wish we maybe would have found a way to get a little bit more for him based on what we've seen so far in Atlanta.
They don't even have a backup first baseman right now. I mean, a guy who's a real first baseman. They have guys who can play there. And he was, you know, arguably their best pinch hitter. And not for just this season, but, you know, he had a good sample size of being one of the top pinch hitters in the National League. I wish they would have kept him.
Yeah, right, I hear you. And I think the Cardinals do this weird thing where they just act like anybody can play first base. Like we heard about how Peralta can play first base and how, you know, Jed Jerko can play first base. Well, Peralta hadn't played first base in a while, and Jerko hasn't played it much, which sounds like kind of like anybody can stick their foot on their bag until somebody has to do it for a week straight, you know, and then you start to go, oh, maybe it would be good to have somebody. I think part of that, Kat, wasn't like, you know, part of that was that the fact that they had Luke Voit, who's smashing away in Memphis, as maybe kind of a guy who was Matt Adams-like. But one of the more, I guess, one of the somewhat odd things is that we haven't seen a Luke Voit get a call up yet. I mean, they shuffled some of these guys from Memphis in and out. Sometimes the Cardinals have been, you know, offensively challenged, power sapped, and there's a guy named Luke Voit in Memphis who's crushing home runs. Now, maybe they don't think that applies to the majors, but it would be nice to see him get a shot based on some of the numbers that he's put up down there.
I think that was part of it. They didn't want to block him, but that's a long stretch before you make it at the big league level, let alone pinch hitting, which is one of the toughest things to do, and Adams had done that. I felt, you know, they didn't get enough, and I probably would have tried to find a way to hold on to Matt Adams, even before the red-hot tear in Atlanta.
He's proving right. I do wonder if it kind of felt like part of that move was the Cardinals felt like Matt Adams did his time, and they wanted to try to help him out, which I guess in many ways is considerate of the Cardinals, but I don't know that they maximized the return they could have got for Matt in doing that. I think teams all across the league now realize what he's capable of, and it'll be really fascinating to see what the Braves do with him, because I think they're going to probably move him because they're not going to dislodge Freddie Freeman. But I think a lot of teams are looking at him going, well, that guy could play every day for us.
I thought the Cardinals may have made a mistake when they told Matt Carpenter, you're the everyday first baseman, we're not going to move you around. I thought his great value was the ability to move him around, to have a guy who could hit like that, a middle-of-the-order hitter or a great leadoff hitter, who could also play second or third. He played right field, he played left field. And now you've taken away that spot where you can put just a bat at first base. Agree with that or no?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's shaping up that way now. I understood the concept that it would be better for Matt in the long run to have a position he could call home. I think guys tend to settle in more when they feel that way. I guess there's a tradition of guys kind of, you know, performing better when they're not bouncing around. But it's kind of one of those things where you get somewhat mixed messaging, because you ask Matt and he'll tell you that he's happy to play anywhere. And he seems to be sincere about it. And then you ask the Cardinals and they tell you, well, you know, it's best that he settles in somewhere. We need to find a home for him. And you don't really know, you know, is it that Matt wants a place to play and doesn't feel like he can say it publicly, or is that the Cardinals think that's what's best for him? But you're right in the sense that it has kind of eliminated him as a versatile guy. You know, his defense, I think, as he continues to get older, is probably more likely to be exposed at second and at third base. So I think that was part of getting him to first. But you're right, it does kind of allow you to have a huge slugger who doesn't have much defensive skills at all stand on first base and catch balls. So I think maybe they see it a little bit differently now. It'll be interesting to see if this team does get shaken up, if they do kind of look to move things forward, if he ends up staying there, if he gets a chance that they might move him around again.
Ben Fredrickson with us here, brought to you by 314 Sports. 314 Training Academy, featuring a 15,000-square-foot indoor facility in Brentwood with the state-of-the-art HitTrax baseball simulator, 314sports.com. Ben, Fred, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Hi, Fredzy.